I'm very glad you didn't come this morning to hurt me, because if you did that, you're going to be very disappointed with the broke English and the mistakes. But as we come together to hear the word of God, and that's what we came here to do. And that, because of that, we're going to live edified. Before we do anything, we're just going to pray and ask our God to give us His blessing. Our Father, we humbly come one more time into your presence to ask you humbly to take away all the pride, take away all the thoughts that are contrary to what you want us to tell us this morning. We want to ask your spirit to have liberty in our hearts, in our midst. We ask your blessings for the time we're going to be in your word, because it is your word. And we come to ask you to reveal to us what you want us to know. In Jesus' name, your Son, your perfect Lamb of God. Amen. Okay, as the brother then already said, we're going to be talking about the disciples and the road of Emmaus. And for that, we're going to open our Bibles, please, in Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24. We're going to start at verse 13. Until 35. I'm going to ask Nathan. Nathan, can you come and read it for us, please? You can project your voice better than mine. And I want everybody to really pay attention to the reading of the word. Luke 24 and start at 13 to 35.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they had found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which had said that he was alive. Verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way, and that how he was known of them in breaking of bread.
If I can put a title for the message, for the thoughts this morning, will be missing the point. Missing the point. The disciples on the road of Emmaus had the most marvelous Bible study ever. The Lord himself exposing to them for a few hours, maybe, about himself, Jesus himself, in the whole Old Testament. And the idea this morning, if you cannot take nothing this morning, take just this. If you don't see Jesus in the Old Testament, the Bible, the Old Testament, is just a book of stories of good men, bad men, battles, and that's it. We have to see Jesus. That is my goal for this morning. We're going to go through the verses. I have ambition to go verse by verse, but might not happen. So to start, verse 13 is expressed over there. Two of them. Who are these people? Who are these two disciples? If you refer to verse 4:9, in Jerusalem, after the crucifixion, this is Sunday. Sunday, probably in the afternoon, they are going back to Emmaus. So, in Jerusalem were few disciples. They always say the 11, but that's not means all the 11 were there, because we know Judas was already dead. So, the expression of 11 is always referred to the closest disciples of Jesus. And more disciples, because Jesus don't have only 11 disciples. He had more people following him. So, those two disciples were one of the disciples of Jesus. Not the closed circle, but was one of the disciples of Jesus. So they went, another expression, went that same day. So that day was the Sunday after the crucifixion. That was the day. And probably late afternoon, probably around 5 o'clock, something like that. We don't have a time, but it was in the afternoon, Sunday. In Emmaus. Emmaus was a little town, probably, according to the NIV Bible, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Maybe that distance a little bit disgusting, but let's say it was 7 miles for our reference this morning. Verse 14 is another expression. And they talked together of all these things that which had happened. So what thing have happened? Nothing, right? It was just an ordinary Sunday. The most marvelous thing ever in the humankind existence, the universe existence, was happening just those 3 days. So Friday was the crucifixion. Saturday already passed, and now it's Sunday. And they were talk all these things which had happened. Of course, they had nothing else to talk. They had to talk about what happened. It was not about the weather or about anything else. So they start to talk. They walk the 7 miles. And just like the brother said, they are disappointed, sad, very frustrated. Because everything they hoped for was gone. Jesus is dead. And the Redeemer, the one day daughter is going to rescue Israel from all their oppression, had died. So he's gone. Let's go back to Emmaus. Let's go. They had missing the point. Way off. Those disciples, they had to see Jesus. They had to walk with Jesus. We don't know how long, but they found miracles. But they didn't get it. Unfortunately, we can live our Christian life for 30 years, 20 years, whatever. And sometimes never get it to you. This is a reminder of the things really matter, the things were really important when we follow Jesus. For those disciples, they had missing the point. They are just walking back, and but something changed. Something extraordinary changed. So they're walking together, they are, and somebody enjoyed the conversation. They are profoundly sad because Jesus himself, as a stranger, came and said, "Why you guys are so sad? What happened?" Their expression was, they are profound sad. They could see they're sad. They just walking. There was a long walk. They just... So they something happened. So the disciples were, and then somebody enjoyed them. So they're disappointed, sad, you know, and they just walking. Now they are troubled spiritually, not only spiritually, but also physically. You could see they were profound. But now somebody's going to enjoy the conversation. Somebody really can do something about that whole situation. The master is coming up. But this is another expression there. I could not, and I talk to some people, and I look somewhere, and verse 16 said, but their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. I'm sure it wasn't time in your life, because it was time in my life. We are humans, we all have the same experience, one way or another. It was time where our eyes were holding to, and we could not see Jesus. We could not recognize him. We are too... Now the disciples over here, they were too disturbing to see Jesus. Maybe that was the reason. The last person they expect to see was Jesus. So maybe that's why they didn't see Jesus. They recognize him. But maybe because Jesus wants to show something even greater than only the revelation of himself. So he wants to show something greater. So I don't want to say the disciples was, they were their fault, they didn't recognize him. Because Mary, as we read this morning, Mary didn't recognize Jesus too. And her defense was dark, you know, could be. So. But the disciples didn't recognize him. But I'm going to say this, my own opinion. They didn't recognize him because, like I said, Jesus was the last person they want to see it. So they were so frustrated with their situation, they didn't see it. They recognized Jesus. And what's shocking me over there too, and all the hosts, Jesus could have came on that situation, just say, "Hey, I'm Jesus, I'm here." Right? Forget about everything is good, we're going to be take care of everything. No. He was interested in the situation. He came and asked, "Why you guys are so sad?" And that shows something we as humans strive for is compassion. And Jesus had compassion. Jesus cared. That probably is the most amazing, my opinion, the most amazing characteristic of Jesus as a human, because he had compassion. He could just say, we can name situations where he wants to know what's happened. He knew what was going on. But he asked, "Why do you guys are so sad? Letty, I want to hear from you." And that reminds us of the power of prayer. I had a hard time sometimes to pray sometimes, because you know, Jesus already knows everything. Why I have to tell him the things he already knows? But he wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from those two disciples. What happened? Why are you so sad? And Cleopas, one of those disciples named there is Cleopas, only say one of them. He was a little bit snobby, if I can say. "Are you the only stranger? Do you know what's happened? Come on. Where you come from?" And probably he thought, well, they're coming from Israel, so Jerusalem, because he's walking the same way we walk. And so, do you know what's happened? So, okay, Cleopas there is, why is, why only one person revealed the name. I don't know. I don't know why another disciple, his name is not there. Our brother said it was his wife. But that's not sure. Because at the cross, in John 19:25, is a reference of a Mary, wife of Cleophas, at the foot of the cross. If that is the same Cleophas, his wife was there in Jerusalem, and probably, who knows, going to be walking with him home. His wife is logical. But the Cleophas there is a different way to spell the name on John 19. So we don't know for sure. How wonderful it is if it was his wife. Jesus intervened in the first couple's life after his resurrection. That would be something. But we don't know for sure, so we're not going to affirm that. There was a person. Some say it could be Luke himself. Some said could be a total person. Nobody knows for sure who it is. Whatever it is, it was a second person to him. And they both were disappointed and sad and walked that long mile. Now come the part to change everything. Verse 25 and 26. I love this. O fools, I am slow of heart. I have a very kind and lovely father. He only reprimanded me a couple times. But I always listen, because he didn't say too much when he said it. But so many times I could have become a fool. And the disciples were called fools. And then he said to the disciples, and slow of heart. And then verse 26, let's go read again 26. That's verse 25, 26. So imagine the situation. They're walking, fed. And this completely stranger come, they don't know who that person is, come and walk with him and ask what's going on. And they tell him they don't want to talk with him, then they reprimand him, say, are you the only stranger, you know what's happening? So they tell him why they are all frustrated. So Cleophas started a conversation, then they both explain to him, you know, we're waiting for the Messiah, he came, we thought it was Jesus, but my brother then said, everything went to the tube now. Everything is gone. You know, we're just going back to our regular life. There's nothing. That's it. So Jesus called them fool. So it's a completely stranger calling you fool. And you're going to just don't say nothing? But he didn't call them only fool. Because he called them fool. They reprimanded them. But then he said, you were slow in heart. And then he said to them, something that probably took totally their attention now. He said, how that the prophet, oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So now, this is not really completely strange. Now they're wise men. He started talking about the prophets. Then, okay, let's go see what he's going to say. And then he asked, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now they realize this stranger knows something about what's going on. And they start to listen to this stranger now. So they start a conversation. And what a conversation. In beginning, that stranger began in Genesis. Because when you refer to Moses, Psalms, and the prophets are the three divisions the Jews use to express the idea of the Old Testament. You have Moses with the first four books, then you have Psalms, you have the prophets, so you pretty much englobe the whole Old Testament. So he starts to express. But this is amazing. That's what I want us to understand this morning. Just take this. He himself, Jesus, explained to those two disciples about himself in the whole Old Testament. I'm not saying every word, every phrase of the Old Testament is referred to Jesus. But if you look to the Old Testament to see Jesus, to see his ministry, about his death, his resurrection, his glorification, we will see. It is more than 350 prophecies in the Old Testament than Jesus himself fulfilled. 350. More than 350. I want to say more than 350 because it is 354, 360. So you have the liberty to go and look for them. 351, 300, more than 350. So you can contest some of them and say, well, maybe that's not really, but you cannot contest 350. So Jesus started to look. I wonder what he told those disciples. I wonder where they took him. Probably he took them to the Genesis 3, 15, when talking about, you know, he's going to become from the seed of a woman. So, and Jesus fulfilled that, right? He born from Mary, and he was a virgin. Probably he told them about the bruises. He will bruise. Genesis 3:15 talk about the one's going to bruise Satan's head, and the serpent will bruise his heels. What's happened at the cross? The nails on his heels. So maybe they took him to the Psalms. Maybe he took them to the Psalms. Psalm 22, Psalm 2. What I want to make you kind of a little taste. If you look to Jesus on those passages, you will see him. So we're not going to miss the point. We will see him. Because that's what matters. So we can go to Isaiah 53. I really don't know what the Jews do at Isaiah 53 if you take Jesus away from that that passage. They say, you know, that's about Israel. That's not really a person. But it doesn't make sense. If you put Jesus in Isaiah 53, you're going to see him there. Psalm 22, the same way. So it is, I don't know exactly, but for a few hours, I don't know how long it's walk. Maybe they were walking very slow, or maybe they were very, maybe they walk fast. Let's say they walk fast. But then when they met Jesus, probably they started to go very slow now. Because there was a very interesting conversation. They took him to explain to them, and he took them to all the Old Testament. So that's something for us to look at and to see Jesus on those verses too, and to adjust our curiosity to go and see this. So beginning with Moses, like you said, he went and to those passages and showed those disciples about himself. But now come the point where they're gonna so they come, Jesus explained to them all those passages. We could go to all those passages and see some. Let's go do that. I think we have time to. Let's go to Isaiah 7 and 14. That's a very clear one. Isaiah 7. Therefore, the Lord himself, that's the prophet Isaiah talking about the Messiah. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So that's an easy one, right? That we see Jesus over there. Let's go to another one. Let's go back to Genesis, the Moses, the books of wrote by Moses. Genesis 12, 12 and 3. Genesis 12 and 3. And I will bless, this is God talking with Abraham. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And in thee, in Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. So how can God bless all the nations in the world with if you know by the Messiah? Because by him, Jesus Christ, all the nations were received the blessing. They were first originally to the Jews. So we see that too. There. The tabernacle is a display of Jesus' attributes in his ministry, his crucifixion. So we see that God, Moses, the books of Moses are filled with of types and prophecies about the Messiah. And you can go there in your own time. It's a good time to do that and see that for yourself. You will enjoy it. Now, so they come, they walk. They now they're very impressed with this stranger. They're very impressed with this stranger that just had walked with him. Now, come close to the house after verse 25. Come to where they're going to go. You know, that's kind of confirming the fact it was a husband and wife because they went to the same house. Maybe, I don't know. But they invite him. He said he's going to go away. So they mentioned to him to go and abide with them. So Jesus is going to reveal himself now. But he's going to go in the extraordinary way. So they ask him, no, stay with us. You know. So he stayed with them. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at the meat with them, this is Jesus with his two disciples, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. So what is just a meal now becomes something different, becomes something special. I don't know what's happened at that table. We can only suppose. He, imagine there at the table, picture there at the table, and Jesus himself he's going to give thanks now for the meal. I don't know if the way, because verse 31 say, and their eyes were open. And their eyes were open. So I don't know if the way Jesus pray make them, oh, hold on, is this something familiar? Or maybe they felt the signs of the nails in his hands. I don't know. But whatever happened, their eyes were open. Now, everything makes sense. Their eyes were open. And they knew him. So that stranger now become a very familiar face. Somebody they knew. I can't want it. How shall I know again? They just had Jesus himself explain to them everything about the Old Testament. And everything now makes sense. They understood. They got the mark right now. So Jesus explained to them, this is the Messiah had to come and die. That's what all the prophets said. He had to come, suffer and die and be raised again and, you know, his kingdom. So everything, I cannot imagine what they feel in that moment. I cannot. Some say, well, this is recognized because of the nails. There was a blindness, a spiritual blindness in their eyes. More than the physical recognition of Jesus, they had missed the point. And Jesus brought them to the right sequence of events now. And they understood. They understood spiritually, they understood what was going on. It is a mention of seven things open on this chapter, Luke 24. It is seven things. In the beginning of the chapter, we see the open of the tomb. You know, the tomb is open. The sepulchre where Jesus was open. Then we see the disciples opened their home to Jesus to come. Then we see now their eyes were open. Jesus opened the scriptures to them, and they opened their lips now, because now they're going to go back to tell the other disciples. And also they opened their understanding. They understood now what the scripture was about. And in the end, you see the open heaven. Jesus receiving to heaven. We are in family, right? We are family. We are brothers. I want to say something, and don't take me wrong, please. I had a burden when I was reading this chapter, and I came to this expression in the verse 24. We will be finished in a few minutes, but just give me your attention for a few minutes. Verse 35. So the disciples, after they had their eyes open and they understood, they could not contain themselves. Imagine they walk the 7 miles. The way they were before, you know, sad, all the hope is gone, everything is. Now they reveal that they have this revelation of the Jesus himself walk with them and tell them everything is about. What a change of attitude. They don't care about if it was sad, if it was late, if they have another 7 miles to walk again. They probably run the 7 miles. And they went back and they tell the other disciples what had happened. So, but that's, when they come to express to the disciples already knew that, because they say, well, we're going to tell you something before they even had a chance to tell the disciples. Look, Jesus is risen. The disciples, the 11 ones, told them, hey, Jesus is risen. He already showed up himself to Peter. So they kind of have, now they have two good news to share. They have something to share. The other brothers, they have something to share. But then we come to this expression. And they told what things, that's the disciples, the two disciples telling the ones in the disciples in Jerusalem. And they told what things were done in the way. So they told the whole story to the disciples. And how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. He was known of them in the breaking of bread. I spent a long time. I became a believer. I was only 7 years old. Actually, when I became a believer in my assembly, I want to be baptized. And they didn't know what to do with me. I was too young. They said, you know, it was kind of different. It was new for them to have a child. So I became a believer very early. But I struggled a long time with the importance of the breaking of bread. I'm talking about the meeting we do every Sunday, and we come to remember the Jesus. We can find a lot of excuses to not come to that meeting. I found some excuses. Or maybe we can come and just don't even be there. But they didn't realize it was the only meeting Jesus asked us to do. He didn't tell us to come to Sunday school. Of the preaching of the gospel. He told us to come and remember him. It's a commandment, but also it's a joy. It's a feast. He came. He did everything for us. And the disciples said, he revealed to us, he was known to us in the breaking of bread. Of course, it was just a meal, but that becomes something else now. Because Well, how can you say it was a break of bread? Was a meeting of remembrance? Jesus himself breaking bread. He already had told the disciples everything about himself. Now him breaking bread with the disciples. I will say this, brother. You know, we're not going to know too much about Jesus himself if we don't look at to yourself individually. That's a thing you have to do yourself. That's a thing I have to do. If I want to know more about my Savior, I have to look at myself. Those disciples, they knew everything about Jesus. They had to walk with him. But until they have a personal encounter with his Savior, the things they knew was just things they knew. But now, when they realize, that changed their life forever. So, if we want to know our Savior, we have to do this individually. But Jesus himself had given us an opportunity to collectively come and remember him on his death. And I will say that. I will say that. The meeting is doing for us to remember him. Let me ask you this. If you don't come, that's going to change anything about Jesus or God himself? No. He's still God. He's still be glorified. He's still... So he gave us the opportunity, the privilege to come and remember him. And we gain so much when we come and just remember him. And you learn so much. Because you learn to appreciate what he had done for us. Please, before I forget and say we are family, right? I just want us to because it is a special meeting. And we have too much time to do the things we want to do. And he just told us to come and remember him. And he revealed himself to those disciples on the breaking of bread. And what a privilege we have to every Sunday come and have a fresh, a new, a totally... So many times you heard the same thing. You say, oh, I never heard about that. Because it is a special thing. We gain so much when we come. And I believe, like I said, it took me a long time to realize that, probably 30 years or more, to realize if you just come, or if you don't come, or just come because it's another meeting, you're just going to cancel. Man, what we do that again for? But if you come with the right mind, with the right spirit, we're going to be solidified. I promise you. I am nobody to promise, because the Savior himself said, come. He said, come. Come, sit down. Let's have. I'm gonna show yourself everything about me. So let's go away from him first. No missing the point when we read the Old Testament, because look, this is Jesus and his life and his crucifixion. Everything in the Old Testament points to this point, and after this, everything in the Bible points back to Jesus. So can we read the Bible and say Jesus? Yes. We're going to miss the point. It's all about him. From the back, from the beginning to the middle, and to the end to the middle. It's all about him. What a privilege we have to come and remember him and give him all the honor. If we have a hard time to do this now, it's going to be a very boring eternity. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to do exactly what we do every Sunday morning. We're going to remember him. Because now no more is going to be a remembrance of, because he's going to be present. That's going to be a feast. That's going to be forever. Remember what he had done for us and why we are there for. So why don't start now? Why don't start now to give him all the glory, all the honor. We make everything about him. And we gain everything. We forget about him. We have nothing. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity you have given to us to be for a few minutes in your word. We ask you to bless our hearts and to calm our spirit and to give a sense of focus and priorities in our life. We need you to do that. Like the disciples in the road of Emmaus. Sometimes we are disappointed. Sometimes we look too much to our situation. Help us to see you. Help us to see you in our situation. Help us to see you in the Bible. Help us to see, have a fresh and a new perspective of what you really are and what you have done for us. Renew our spirit. Give us the joy of our salvation. Not now, but in the days you have us over here. And let the people around us, please, don't see our sadness, but see our, just like when the disciples went back, and they have all the joy in their face. They could not wait to tell about you. Help us to be the same way. Happy. Independent of what's going on with our life. It's not going to be perfect. We know that. But we ask you to give us strength until that day when we're going to see you face to face. And everything will be worth it. We thank you. We ask for your blessing in our life. In Jesus Christ, our Savior. Savior's name. Amen.